Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross. You're listening to the Ringside Podcast. Ringside Podcast. You got it? It's free. Get it. Love it.
You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Welcome to Ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
Woo! You know what? You just made the list.
Really?
With Daniel Spencer.
The jabroni beaten. Now, pie eaten.
Jeremy Wallman.
That I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
And Eric Cornish.
And I think that the spotlight should go on top of me.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
And I'm Eric Cornish. Guys, we are back. Episode 2 of Season 5, the year 2021. And man, what a crazy week and a half it's been in wrestling just since the last show. How about that?
Yeah, there's been a thing or two.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I know we'll get to them in a minute. I'll let y'all know how happy I am with some of it and how unhappy I am with other parts of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll have your opinion. That you always have your opinion, and we appreciate that. That's why we have you on the show. But real quick, I want to give a shout out to everybody who listens to the show. This is a listener supported podcast, and although we are the official podcast of OVW, but we do appreciate all the support. For everyone out there, you can get us on the podcast avenues, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review, by the way, on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, iHeartRadio, just anywhere podcast, Attic, I think is the name of it, on if you have an Android, just so many different places you can catch us on. Did I say Stitcher? I think I did. Did I say Spotify? I don't know if I did or not, but there you go. You can get us all on there. Listen, download, subscribe, support. Leave us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. And since this is listener supported, if you go to any OVW event and use promo code Ringside, you save money and you help support this podcast. But most importantly, if you go to collarandelbowbrand.com and use promo code Ringside, all capital letters on the checkout there, you also support the podcast. But you save the best, you save money and you get the best wrestling apparel there is today. collarandelbowbrand.com. Promo code Ringside. Get it, like it, wear it, love it. I don't know. I'm just trying to think. I was trying to think of a better saying. But
that was good on the fly. I applaud your effort.
Yeah. So wanted to get the business out of the way because we got a lot to talk about. We might circle back around to that collar and elbow or that OVW code again. But hey, let's get it out of the way and get it over with, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Will we start with OVW today? Since we're already there, let's kind of talk about it.
I think so, because a lot of the times we run out of time, so we pay the least amount of attention to OVW, and that's our squad. So, yeah, let's start off with them.
Sure, and I know there's some things that Jeremy wants to talk about, so we'll get there. But let's talk about what has happened since our last show. It was Tough Love, which was the big pay-per-view, which was free per-view, I guess we could call it. So, I hope you enjoyed that. A lot of great action there. We had probably my favorite match of the whole night was the women's street fight. Hollywood, Haley J, Jocelyn Navarro just tearing it up. Absolutely loved it. I thought they did an excellent job. We had great Rush Division action with William Lutz coming out somehow still as the champion once again. And we've got we've got the tag team champions again, still the Tate Twins after a great match with the Gravity Destroyers. And in the main event, the unlikely tag team of Tony Gunn, Mr. Pectacular Jesse Godders, and the OVW heavyweight champion Omar Amir taking on the Legacy of Brutality. Mr. Pectacular and Tony Gunn leaving Omar high and dry, but still he managed to pick up the win. Coming out against the LOB.
what a crazy main event that was, and it was a great show overall. Though I mean, you know, great crowd, great pay per view views and numbers. Based on, of course, I know it was free. So, but hey, a lot of the world tuned in to watch what we had to put on there, and that's the most important. And a lot of new eyes on the product, and yeah, definitely was great to see. All the matches, and hey, you know what? I know we didn't put a big thing about it or make a big deal about it, but there's a new look to the Rush title.
Yes, and I love the new belt. I love it.
It's no longer a.
I haven't seen it.
It's no longer an NXT knockoff. So, which was not intentional. It just happened, and it was like what. So
it was really the collar and elbow guys, yeah. And so it looked like the collar and elbow logo, but which kind of looks like when you put it on a belt, it looks like the NXT.
Absolutely.
Right. So which it would have made more sense to have the big C little X big E. Instead, they did the little C big X little E, which is very similar to little N big X T. But anyways, it's all good. The new belt is out there now, and it's still sponsored by Collar and Elbow. Still has the Collar and Elbow logo on there. And
I will tell you this. I've been snooping around backstage in the boss's office. I don't know. But there's more to come in the way of new titles. I'm just going to leave it at that.
So
I've seen some sparkle. I've seen some bling hanging around. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh. I mean, I think you're right, because I have a feeling I might have stumbled upon that too as well. Like, ooh,
dang it.
Ooh, this is nice. Ooh.
Yeah, me too. I am over here feeling left out and stuff. Well, yeah. I mean, I was in there the other day too, and I was amazed by what I saw.
Yeah. And we both heard there's a possibility of other announcements coming soon by the one and only Matt Jones. So we'll see what that happens when he decides to make those announcements. And speaking of things and titles and whatnot. So
yeah, this spring is going to be a big time for OVW as fans start to come back and everything else. So I'm pretty excited to see about things that I don't even know about, but I know there's big surprises to come. So very excited about that. And but very excited to see kind of what happens in this dynamic coming out of that main event, because you know, Tony Gunn, Jesse Goddard's not exactly the best of friends, but trying to put together some sort of united front against, what it looks to be most of the OVW roster now. So, let's see where this goes from here. And I know Jeremy got involved in just a little confrontation that happened over Twitter.
I got involved in some friendly fire, because I've been a fan of Jesse's, Mr. Goddard's, that is, as we all should address him, since his days on Big Brother. And I've always, you know, I thought he got treated unfairly on that show a lot. And I think he's been treated unfairly a little bit since he's got to OVW. And he's doing his best to overcome that. And he is the national champion for a reason. Treated unfair. I mean, by just everybody else in the, you know, they, every time I look on Twitter, there's somebody back talking or trash talking him. I don't mean that the organization's treated him unfairly, so let me digress for a moment. I'm talking about everybody. Like, he's the most dominant champion in OVW right now, maybe in all of professional wrestling.
Because he's defended the title one time and only wrestled one time for it.
I mean, look here, buddy. You was all for Brock Lesnar defending his title one time in 2018. So I don't want to hear anything about that.
Well, and much like that, he has used Shannon the Dude as his Paul Heyman to help him get that status. And right now he's trying to screw people over like Omar Amir for no reason.
Look, all I'm saying is you say that he's had a hard time or whatever. He's the OVW national, the first ever OVW national heavyweight champion. And he's only had to defend it one time. And the first person he was supposed to defend it with actually backed out of it and left and went down south to Jacksonville. So therefore, he really didn't get the true match, because I think if he would have had one-on-one with that guy, who's to say that guy didn't walk out with the national title? Now, look, I love Jesse Goddard. Don't get me wrong.
And
that's not how I said. I'm letting him know right now via DM what y'all are saying.
Let's just say, hey, his one title defense that he did have, he also had on the same night after Omar Amir went through 29 other men to win Nightmare Rumble. So let's throw that out there too. And not only that, but he also had the LOB and everybody else involved. But whatever, we'll just ignore that. But he still is
the OVW National Heavyweight Champion.
Yes,
and he still is Mr. Spectacular. He still is must see TV. And every
I've never denied he made events.
And I'm not denying that at all. So Jeremy's gonna run and play snitch and try to tell when Jesse Goddard can listen to the show himself and hear exactly what we're saying.
But let me tell you, you're changing your tune a little bit now.
No, I'm not. You didn't let us finish. It's just
let me tell you where all this heat came from, Daniel. And yeah, I think you were witness to this.
Yeah.
I simply every week do a 15-second promo about the show. I watch the show, I attend the show, and I tell the fans what they can see on YT out in Friday nights, right?
Right.
Just real easy. Real easy. So I simply watched and I just reported what I saw, and what I saw was that Jesse Goddard and Tony Gunn are forming an unlikely alliance, but they sure aren't making a whole lot of friends. I mean, did you see the LOB was out there trying to get them? Omar, KTD, they were all out there trying to get them. So I think I reported in my commercial basically what I saw. Jesse did not enjoy what he was reading, and of course – your boy Jeremy there had to jump in and all of a sudden take Jesse's side just to kiss up to Mr. Pickback.
You've got the wrong co-host. I don't name drop and I don't kiss up. That's the other guy. All I'm saying is that I saw here. Injustice. What'd you say?
JK's longer here. So well, hang on for a second though. How come you haven't been to an OVW event since Jesse Goddard has been the OVW heavyweight champion to support Vince McMahon?
Well, I think you know why. My dad's extremely sick. He just got rid of his cancer. He just got out of the hospital. I still have to protect my family. Okay. Both my mom and dad are both really sick. So Jesse
Goddard has given him private screenings in the back of his limo, apparently.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I talk with Jesse every month. We're not best friends. We're not as good friends as me and Kevin Owens, obviously. But, you know, we talk, you know, occasionally.
Yeah, you got pictures with you and Kevin Owens. I don't know of a picture of you and Jesse.
I don't have a picture of me and Jesse.
Okay.
No, we're supposed to book it. My booker for the show here is supposed to book him like 8 times and never cashed in on that one. So I'm waiting.
But again, I don't think anything that I said was unfair. I think I just spoke what I saw during the show, and
it was probably just the wrong place at the wrong time. Wrong place, wrong time. I mean, we all know that you could. Now, if it was the other one up there, and I'm pointing, even though y'all can't see me pointing, if it was him, then everybody would have thought it was done on purpose. But everybody knows that you're just like the biggest teddy bear at OVW, and you couldn't even harm a fly if you wanted to.
100%. 100%. That's me.
Hey, I am the teddy bear of OVW.
Yes,
now
I
this
did.
Guy here that's now on the big screen here, he would start stuff, but not Eric Cornish. He accidentally was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
There you go.
Okay. Well, this guy. All right. So so a lot's happened at OVW. Currently right now, due to the area weather, OVW is gonna be on a hiatus for a week or so. So we'll be back and get things going as we push forward to the big plans we have in spring, as Erica alluded to earlier. So, all right. So enough about OVW right now. We'll come back. We'll circle back to that for sure. And then maybe we will book Mr. Spectacular so he can come on here and defend himself. Right.
I'm about to give him the Zoom code here in a second for him to just jump in and join. just watch it.
You act like that scares us or something. We don't bother us. Yeah, he don't bother us. All right. So, since we've seen people get signed to WWE, we've seen people get signed to Impact or show up, I should say. We see people possibly go to AEW. We see all these ramblings about all this hearsay too of people who's been signed. So a lot of stuff has been going on.
And we've had a pay-per-view with NXT recently. Well, actually, both Impact had a pay-per-view and NXT had a pay-per-view the same weekend. So, right. You know, a lot of stuff happened in both of those shows. So, Jeremy, did you get to catch any of the shows over the weekend?
Yeah, I watched the Vengeance Day last night with NXT. I'll be honest with you. I knew the Impact one was on, but I was handling some personal business, so I did not get to watch that one live. I did keep up with it on social media. It looked like it was a fairly decent show, and that's what Impact's been doing here as of late. They have really stepped up their game, and you know, they're putting out good pay per views every month. But you can never say enough about what NXT does. It's so frustrating, and Daniel, you've also relayed these thoughts. I think we all have. It's so frustrating to me, though, how NXT could be so good, and the main roster has the better characters, the better athletes for the most part, and you just don't have the same continuity, the same same results. You can watch a 5-match NXT pay-per-view and be just as entertained as if you've watched the entire week of Raw, SmackDown, actually an entire month of Raw and SmackDown. You can be more entertained than just the one NXT pay-per-view. Loved what I saw last night, the signing. Of course, Daniel heard about it way before I did, but the signing of Eli Drake. No, I will not call him LA Knight. I will not call him
A decade later, are we still complaining about people changing names?
Yes. I mean,
is that are we really still going to harp on that?
And you know why? You know why? A decade ago, I was cool with it. But they let Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode and Eric Young and countless other people come in and nothing. And now all CM Punk, all those guys. And now all of a sudden, we've got Wes Lee. I mean, that's one of the most generic names. That dude is a phenomenal performer. And Nash Bridges or whatever the heck his name is, Nash Carter. And now we've got BK Knights or L.A. Storm or whatever his name is. And, yeah, I just don't understand why you take the identity away when you didn't do it from some of the guys, like I said, like Eric Young, Samoa Joe, James Storm came in for a cup of coffee. It just irks me. It may not irk y'all, and that's fine, but it does irk me because I don't want to say L.A. Knight. I want to be able to chant along with everybody else and say Eli Drake. It's just aggravating.
Well, here's the thing, and personally here, yes, I know who Eli Drake is, and I've seen him, but not a lot. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I know the Eli Drake name. I've seen him in NWA. I saw him briefly in Impact, but that was kind of in the time where I really wasn't into Impact that much. So, you know, and I think there's a difference between a guy like Eli Drake and a guy like Bobby Roode. I mean, Bobby Roode probably had a lot more eyes on him. Samoa Joe for sure had more eyes on him than Eli Drake ever did. So, you know, and most of these guys, when they are changing their names, they're getting to come up with them. And you'll hear that as they go on and people ask them, where's that name come from? And, you know, 9 out of 10 times they came up with the name. So,
well, I'll argue with you just for a second, not hateful argument. What I heard, especially from the Rascals, they said they were given a list of names and they were able to go through and pick which one. And I've heard that in the past too. I can't say which ones specifically because I do not remember. But as far as the Rascals are concerned, they were able to pick. And yeah, so he probably did pick that name out. But what were the other choices that were so bad he picked LA Knight? Was it like New York Apple, NY Apple? Was that one of the choices? Or BK Whopper? I mean, who knows?
So there's a period where, if you look back, when a lot of these guys were getting signed, there was the ROH guys. CM Punk got to keep his name, but then shortly after that, you had Bryan Danielson, who didn't get to keep his name. You had Kevin Steen, who didn't get to keep his name. You had Cesaro, who didn't get to keep his name. So all these people were coming in, they didn't get to keep their name, and then shortly after, literally right after Kevin Owens was the last one, that's when they signed Shinsuke Nakamura, who got to keep his name. Samoa Joe. Now Finn Balor didn't get to keep his name. He had to change it to Finn Balor. But then you had
the Impact AJ guys, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre.
Well, Bobby Lashley was an Impact guy. He was a WWF guy.
Well, I mean, he was an Impact before EC3. He got to be EC3 in WWE. I'm just saying, as far as the impact, I'm not
Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre left, became Drew Galloway, came back as Drew McIntyre. So I mean, you know.
Thank you for mansplaining that. Slapnuts.
Same with John Morrison. You know, I mean.
Right, but I'm talking. The Impact guys, for some reason, have been treated differently until the Rascals, for the most part. But it is what they've got a reasoning for it. I don't like it. That's not going to change.
Here's the deal: they get over with whatever name. You forget about it, just like you have Daniel Bryan and everybody.
Seth Rollins
forgot
was another
about
one, by the way. Tyler Black.
Seth Rollins, another one.
Yeah, ROH, all the ROH guys except for CM Punk and Joe.
CM Punk was before that merge.
Right.
But it's just that's the thing. Like they it's all about. Like we all know what it comes down to. It comes down to the marketing owning the right, because you know, take a guy like, you know, Steve Cutler, who just got cut recently. That's the name he's been under at WWE. Now, granted, he hasn't had he's been there for 8 years, but he hasn't had a long career of the namesake like somebody else. But now he's got to go somewhere else. And his real name's Steve, but his last name is not Cutler. So he's got to go make up another name and can't use that and do something else because they own that name, Steve Cutler. So
I'm just saying it's far fetched for me to believe that you can't come up with something better than Wes Lee. That'd be like me calling you, coming to the ring, Air.
But see, I personally know. I personally know why they picked those names, and those were special to them. So, like, I understand why.
Yeah, but you're not everybody. You're behind the scenes, Daniel, as we all know, because you referee other places. You've met a lot of them.
So you're saying you're telling me a name like Wentz was a better name? Like Wes Lee's dumb, but Wentz was.
It was more creative than Wesley Eric. I'm Jeremy. My ring name is Jeremy. I don't like it.
There's a female wrestler that's actually married to one of those guys who goes by Kimber Lee.
Yeah, I know.
So okay,
not a fan of that either. But it is what it is.
I think it's brilliant, smart marketing. Kimberly. It's a smart marketing to me.
Yeah, but Kimber Lee's not married to Wes Lee.
No, she's married to Nash Carter. Right.
So.
But anyways, I'm just giving you an example. Like, that's a smart marketing. Like you said,
but speaking of those guys, man, what a phenomenal performance in the Dusty Cup. If you did, and a lot, I was shocked at the amount of people that are like, I've never seen these guys before. Where did they come from? Well, I knew where they come from. You knew where they came from. Eric knew. And I think a lot of people did know. But the fact is that they busted on the scene at the Dusty Cup, took it home. I think that was the right choice. I think they rightfully won that tournament. And again, you asked me, did I watch any of the pay-per-views? Vengeance Day, I think, all the way from the beginning and Eli Drake to the end where we had the double cross. It was a five-star pay-per-view for me.
Yeah, I think, I didn't get to see all of it, but man, the women's tag team, I'm so glad they did a women's tag team Dusty Cup this year. And it is time now. I truly believe NXT, and Daniel's going to disagree with me on this, NXT does have the best women's division of any of the shows. They honestly do. Look at how many women they have there. And I think it's time to go ahead and use that rule that you can bring the women's tag team championship to NXT. Let's just bring it there. Let's have one of those teams, maybe the team that won it, you know, let them win the tag team titles, keep them on NXT for a while. And then that'll be a great way to bring the team up, you know, that has them when they're ready.
Speaking of the women's division, they actually just, you know, rumor is signed another person to their women's lineup, but of course some other ones they did in recently in the off the indies, but this person probably is going to also have a name change. So
and I think that's okay. Yeah. I never liked the name. I just haven't.
Well, see, she was just tied, correct me if I'm wrong, Dennis, she was just tied in Lucha Underground, correct?
Well, I thought she was Taya Valkyrie. I thought she was always
she wasn't Taya. The Valkyrie wasn't, she just, I think she was just Taya.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So
no, but I didn't watch Lucha Underground, so
But Mrs. John Morrison will, yeah, I'm assuming she's probably going to make a stop in NXT and not just head straight to the main roster, but they're all there anyway at the, right, you know, basically the same location. So she'll be there with her hubby.
Taya Morrison, that'd be fine with me. But to touch on something that
I have a feeling that's what they're going to do.
Touch on something Eric just said. I fully believe that Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez are going to defeat the women's tag team title shot coming up in the near future. I think they do win the tag team titles. I think they beat Nia and whatever his name,
her hole, yeah. Nia and her hole.
That's what the team now has a name. It's why can't Shayna in the hole?
Ace. No, isn't she? She's the ace of spades or queen, yeah, of spades. Queen of spades, man. Yeah. No, it would have been great if she was the ace of spades, the ace in the hole.
Gosh dang it.
God, that would have been great.
That would have been, but I fully expect for them to cash in their Dusty Cup win and bring home the titles. I love their dynamic as a team. I like Raquel's. I like her individually. I'm not that much of a Dakota Kai fan when they're split apart, but together they give me that, as I have affectionately called them, HDK and Sheasel. They give me a lot of Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash vibes when they're together, and I love that.
I can see that. I can see that, and I like the arrogance of Dakota Kai. I never thought when she first came in, as she was such just a, I mean, it was kind of like Bayley, you know. She had, mm-hmm, just such that likable, you know, just personality, and who knew she could be such a great heel, just like Bayley. So,
absolutely,
but, yeah, very good, and yeah, I would love to see that. I'm ready to see that. The tag team titles are too much into the mix of everything else in Raw and SmackDown, and I think it's getting cluttered with those. I think it would be nice to kind of ship them down to NXT for a while and let those girls battle over it.
Well, yeah, of course, especially, I'll say this one last thing, and I'll pass it back to Daniel, especially when the last, I think, other than right now, the last four or five tag team title holders, or four out of the last five tag team title holders has featured either the Raw heavyweight women's champion or the SmackDown women's champion. We got to separate those. We don't need to have two belts. We don't need two belts banks or Bayley dose straps or Trey being or whatever it is. Those titles need to be on. I would love to even see a women's intercontinental and U.S. championship, some sort of, maybe not two championships, but one other singles championship, maybe even call it the television championship, and it be for the women to defend every week to help that out. That division is very, very deep, and they do need another championship to fight for. And I do agree with you also. NXT does have the deepest. I think it would be NXT, then SmackDown, then Raw, then Impact, and then everybody else. It's not even close. After Impact, it falls so far down after that, it's not even close.
Yeah, so, you know, NXT, I mean, the show was great. When, you know, putting over, let MSK do their thing. You know, I did like the, I personally like the turn at the end, the leading you what's going on with Undisputed Era. I think it's time for Undisputed Era to end anyways. It makes sense. Does that mean somebody goes in the main roster? Does that mean, you know, what happens? I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, there's still a clock ticking too as well for good old Finn Balor. So it's going to be interesting to see what that happens. And, you know, does LA Knight get involved somehow in that thing as well?
I was honestly kind of surprised in seeing LA Knight come to NXT. When I heard that he was signed, of course, it happened within minutes, you know, finding out through you guys and then seeing him show up. I really thought he might just fast track to the main roster, because he seems like, the personality wise and work wise, I think he's, you know, he's cut out for the main roster, and it's kind of like EC3 going to NXT, to where it just, like, it didn't fit, you know what I mean? Of course, I mean, in WWE's world, he didn't fit in the main roster either.
Joe, but as well,
that was their fault.
Samoa Joe as well, yeah, didn't fit, but, you know, it is what it is. They have a reason for doing it. And I mean, Tal Valkyrie technically could go straight to the main roster as well. So
sure.
She's not. They're going to put, can anybody just off the top of their head remember the last person they signed and just took them straight to the main roster, other than John Morrison? Obviously, he'd already been there before.
Micah Maria Bennett?
Yeah. Might be.
I thought they were in NXT for a month.
Nope. They showed up in the Ring of Love or whatever, like right away. And on a pay-per-view, actually.
But no, Eric Young, Bobby Roode, all those guys, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke.
Yeah, AJ went there straight. I'm trying to think. It seems like there was somebody else, but maybe not.
Kevin Owens that was there for a hot minute, like 2 months, and then it's gone. You know, things like that, which is I could see happening to LA Knight too. You know, in a couple months, boom, he's gone. But then you got people like Cole who's been there for a few years, and now Finn Balor went back there when he left for a while. So
I'm just glad to see Eli. I'm going to call him Eli. Y'all know how I am. I still call Dean Ambrose Dean Ambrose. I'm glad to see. I never thought I'd see him at WWE at all, just because.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. No. This makes no sense. So the guy who had a name before he goes somewhere, and then he changes his name, gets changed to Dean Ambrose, which you're highly against. He goes back, he goes away. Now he can be his name again. And you're going to call him Dean Ambrose when everybody else you're going to call the name before they showed up. It makes no sense.
Absolutely.
He's just going to pick whatever name he wants.
To be fair, I didn't know Dean Ambrose before he showed up in WWE. So that's the first name I ever called him. I heard of the name Moxley prior. I heard about all the stuff that happened with him and Foley before he signed. But, I had never really saw him wrestle too much, so that's what I'm going by.
In Cincinnati,
I know he was in Heartland. He was in Heartland Wrestling Alliance. I get that, but no, I didn't know that we'd ever see Eli in WWE, and I'm really really glad we are, because I do think he's probably top three promo guys in the game right now.
Well, how about this? Check this out. He is Cody Hawk now. Has how many guys has been signed? You know, from his training, I mean, you got John Moxley, you've got Sean Ricker, you've got AKA that's LA.
I know. Brian Cage.
Yeah, Brian Cage. Think about that. Think about the people that Cody Hawk. I mean, that's maybe that he's right up in Cincinnati, so. You know, you do a little training with Cody. You do a little training at OVW. You got Al. You got Cody. I mean, hey, there you go.
Now Simbody out there in Vegas has got a couple now in NXT. You got a few Lacey in NXT.
Ryan and then of course, yeah, I think I'm pretty sure Chris Bay was with Impact. Said Simbody trained him. So like that's. Man, that's there's some good people out there training. So just a lot of schools. Hey, just the main thing we always say, of course, we highly recommend OVW, especially since it's a trade school and you can get a scholarship to actually go and be a wrestler, and which is phenomenal through the state of Kentucky. So we highly recommend OVW. But at the same time, the main thing is get into a good wrestling school. People like that, Booker T School, Simbody School. You know, any of the Arsenal Wrestling Academy schools, Cody Hawk, you know, just do something like that. And I'm telling you, you're going to
Richards and Jacobs, got a shout out to them. And also Ricky Morton, School of Morton.
Yeah. Yeah. And even what you call it, Dustin's school down in Texas. You know, actually, Cody Hawk's girlfriend or fiance is now going there to his school. I don't know. It's not the Rhodes. Is it the Rhodes Academy? Is that what he calls it? Or
I'll look it up.
Nightmare Factory is in Atlanta. That's Cody Rhodes' thing, but right. But Dustin, the one in Texas, is his. So can't remember that. So
and he just opened that up too. But it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the Rhodes Wrestling Academy.
Rhodes Wrestling. Okay, there we go. Like I said, a lot of good schools out there. So,
my unicorn knocked my headphones off.
So, let's talk a little bit about Impact and AEW, because you know, since they kind of go together sometimes. Impact, you know, with their No Surrender pay per view, Impact Plus special, which by the way, you can get the Impact Plus free for 30 days, and it's just $7.99 after that. You get a lot of great content, and you get monthly specials every single month. even on the month they have big pay-per-views, you still get a monthly special. You get two pay-per-views sometimes in the same month with Impact. So pretty awesome. But, you know, you had big matches. You had the Triple Threat Revolver match. I got the ref for that. That was a pretty cool match where basically it was kind of like a gauntlet in the Triple Threat style. Three guys started out. Once somebody got eliminated through a pin, then the next person came out, and it stayed a triple threat match all the way up until the very end. And then the last three, the first one with the pinfall submission won. And Josh Alexander was victorious over that. Trey Miguel almost had it, and he just lost it. Josh ends up taking it and goes on to face, actually this week on Access TV, TJP for the X Division title. So we'll see what happens there.
It's an interesting matchup there. Not one that you would expect, and that's what makes it a great win.
Exactly. And a new show starts this week on Impact. By the time this airs, you might be able to catch it. If not, well, you know, it'll be a new weekly show. It's called Before the Impact. It's another hour kind of lead-in show for the Impact show. It is hosted by John Burton, Josh Matthews, and Mean Gia Miller. So, you know, it's pretty cool, and there's always a match or two on the show as well. So it's, yes, I know what you're thinking, 3 hours of content, but I'm telling you, it's not like 3 hours of Raw or 3 hours of, it's actually almost like a post-game or a pre-game show that you're going to deal with when you watch, like, you know, your favorite ball game. You know, when you're about to watch the Steelers play, you watch that pregame show, you can kind of lead up to them before they play. You know, so there you go.
I like the idea. I've been waiting for Impact to come out with another show for a long time now, so I'm very, very happy with it.
And it kind of replaces the Explosion show, which has been on for many, many years. Explosion was a show that kind of it was a very, very B show. So this kind of replaces that. Although the good thing about it is these people that show up on these matches are not B players. They're you know, so it's very interesting, and you'll get a lot of in depth behind the scenes, like interviews and things that you won't get anywhere else. I'm telling you, when I just read the format for the next couple of weeks, I was like, wow, this is different. And I have a feeling somebody's going to steal the idea, but we came up with it first, so whatever.
I remember back in the early days, you talk about Explosion. I mean, because Explosion's been there since the inception of TNA, all the way back to the beginning in Nashville. And I remember going to those tapings early on. Mm-hmm. And they would bring in people that you had never heard of before, that would just come in and do these little matches. And it would be, you know, these little indie guys like CM Punk and Matt Sydal. And it's kind of neat now looking back. Explosion was definitely a B show, but the people that were on there ended up becoming, you know, big stars. So that was kind of neat.
And that's happened in the last couple of years too. You've had people that, you know, have wrestled, you know, Tony Gunn has had a match on Explosion and things like that. So these are guys that, you know, that have opportunities. And sure enough, you know, 5 years from now, we're going to go back and go, remember Explosion 2019? Look, there's Tony Gunn. Yeah, look at that. Tony Gunn's a superstar at XYZ Company, you know? So that's pretty cool.
So Jeremy's kissing up to Mr. Spectacular. You're kissing up to Tony Gunn. Something's going on here. Something's happening.
I wouldn't say I was kissing up to anybody. I was just taking up for what's right.
Jeremy also loved Justin Smooth, and he that was his favorite, I think. I think he liked
Justin Smooth. Shout out to Justin Smooth. It's been exactly 1 year today that he stepped out of OVW. I noticed that on my memories this morning. So,
man. Yeah, Justin Smooth. I liked Logan James. I liked the Outrunners, Shiloh and Randall. And everybody I've liked has left, so I'm going to stop liking people and just admire them like I do Mr. Spectacular.
Wait a minute. Didn't I see something recently about the Outrunners?
They were tagging OVW in something. I know they made an appearance in the Nightmare Rumble, but I'm
pretty sure.
I'm just hoping.
Was there a paid advertisement like after the show went off of a? Of a 30-second clip of the Outrunners, like coming soon or something.
Really?
Did I see that at the end of an OVW TV show? I think it was like the very end. I think the credits rolled, and then it said coming soon. And it showed like this boat and
Let's go.
I'm pretty sure I saw that.
I missed that, but
I did too.
Maybe episode,
bring it on.
Maybe episode 1112. Maybe you should. Maybe on the YouTube. You might want to check that out. Yeah.
I still think there's not a lot of things that OVW has missed out on, as far as I'm concerned. But I think that they missed out. There was an opportunity for a powerhouse faction there with almost. And I know a lot of people are like, well, we don't need another reboot, but it was almost a Four Horsemen-esque faction there with Randall Floyd, Justin Smooth, Logan James, and I can't even remember the Dustin Jackson. That's the other guy I think I had in there. So I think that would have been a great little – I think that would have been a really good faction to have. And then have Shiloh be like the J.J. Dillon of the faction. I would really like that, but that's just my opinion. But go ahead. Back to what you were saying, Daniel.
I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure it was like, you know, a couple weeks ago I remember seeing a
– Well, we didn't see it, but it's not – we weren't trying to ignore it. I'm glad to hear that. We need more Randall Floyd. We need more Shiloh Jones.
Who are they? I mean, I don't know who those are. I know who Turbo Floyd is, and I know who Truth Magnum is, but I don't know who Shiloh Jones and Randall Floyd is. They left. They left OVW. They did, and when they left, they're gone.
Fair enough. We need more Justin Smith, too.
Yeah. Those name changes, I tell you.
I hate them. Everything in me.
L.A. Knight. All right, so
we know what you're going to name this episode.
What the L.A.?
So anyways,
we need to protect our intellectual property, Jeremy. We're going to need you to change your name next week.
All right. I'll have it ready for you.
I already started there was a typo on the on the intro.
That's true. And he was why there was the typo.
I literally fixed it in the middle of taping at Impact last week. I was like, oh crap. I signed in and went in there and fixed it right away. I was like, I'll fix it right now. It's fixed. I was like, it's done. I went in, but for about 3 days there, it said Jeremy. What did it say? Jeremy?
It said like Jeremy or something like that.
That's it. Intellectual property, buddy. Sorry. We had to do it.
Jeremy Wallman.
There you go. I just sent you my new name in the group chat. So,
Jeremy. I got it.
Jeremy. All right. That's his name. All right. We're going to give him 55 to choose from. 55 names. He'd be like, yeah, Jeremy.
As long as it's not like LA Knights not on the list, I'll be fine. Or LA Days. I'm sure they'll figure out something.
You could be Louis Vole.
Ville.
Yeah. All right. So anyways. So we got that's going on, and but the big announcement at the end of No Surrender was we saw a flashing symbol a couple times, and it was a very recognized symbol around the world, especially in the country of Japan. It was New Japan Pro Wrestling logo, and it looks like some people are coming to Impact. Did y'all see that?
I saw that,
and this partnership, or well, the multi-way partnership, has turned out to be has turned out to be a very good thing. And I think the more that we see different talents come in, this is kind of reminiscent of the old Monday Night War days when you didn't know who was going to show up. I like it. I like what's happening here.
So you've got
me. I thought you were going to go in the same direction I was about to go to. It really reminds me of back in the day when with the USWA, AWA, WCCW crossover.
That too, yeah.
That was awesome. I'm ready for Jay Lethal and Ring of Honor to join the group chat here and do something along with these other guys. I think that'd be really, really, really fun. I love it.
So Finn Juice is the first team heard Finn early Juice in the week.
So Juice Robinson and David Finley, and yeah, Finn Juice showing up supposedly this Tuesday. So this week, as we're recording this, they're going to show up on Impact on Access TV and Twitch if you don't have Access TV. And
what's your thought on Juice Robinson's name there, Jeremy?
Let me tell you this: as somebody that watched him in NXT as CJ Parker get beat up week after week after week, name him. He's become a huge star, so he can have whatever name he wants.
Just so we're clear on that. On the rules, I got you.
I'm cool with that one. Just,
well, we got to figure out the rules here because they're changed per person.
Look, it's real easy. Rule number one: find out what Jeremy likes and what he don't. Rule number two: if you can't figure it out, Jeremy's just going to make something up anyway.
There you go. I figured that was the rule. That's what I was.
That's the rule.
I mean, you called Cody Rhodes Cody forever, and he was just Cody. So. But he's Cody Rhodes now. He got his name
back. Yeah, he is Cody Rhodes now. That's true.
Yeah.
He got his name back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and little Jimmy both got their name back.
But you used to watch him in OVW. He was Cody Reynolds. Now, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sean Spears
got his name back, too.
That's another name I hate. I hated Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
I like Stan, to be honest. You didn't get that?
All right. Let's talk about this. Okay, because Finn Juice, a great name, and I mean, that would be huge news had it not been trumped kind of by the other New Japan news that came out shortly after. Daniel?
Go ahead. Jeremy?
You probably already know about it because it's in your web there.
You talking about, what's his name? Pro Wrestling Noah? You talking about that? What happened there?
No, I'm talking about Okada.
Oh, Okada. Okay, gotcha. All right. I was trying to kayfabe you a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever. We know you're up on all this stuff.
I'm just trying to figure out which organization he's going to infiltrate next. He's already infiltrated OVW and Impact. Daniel Spencer's taking over the world one territory at a time.
I'm trying to figure out who's paying his paychecks because I'm still not really sure that Tony Khan's not paying his paychecks.
I'm with you on that.
I don't know.
It's probably Dixie Carter.
They're like, this guy keeps showing up, and I don't know who's paying him, but whatever.
I'm still waiting for the first time. You know, and sometimes I fast forward through stuff, so maybe I've missed it, but I still have yet to hear them refer to you by your name on TV.
Well, shout out to new commentators for the year 2021. Matt Stryker and D.L. Brown has mentioned my name twice.
Okay.
And actually have mentioned all the referees' names. They want to make sure they kind of let us know who we are. And the very first match that I did under – and they were doing live commentary right there. It was the countdown to Hard to Kill. And actually, it was Josh Alexander versus Brian Myers. And I actually, while I was reffing, heard them call out my name. And I was like, that's interesting. So commentary is done later, and I don't hear that until I watch it. So they actually did, and then they did it again on another episode.
Well, it's about time.
I agree, and I think that's important. I think that's one thing that really bugs me and always has about WWE, just making the official, the nameless, faceless. Like, well, why would you know, why would you care if the ref got bumped, you know? I mean, for, you know, myself and AJ, when we do Overdrive, we always try to mention the referee's name if the referee is involved in something. You know, we don't just say the official. We give your all's name. For example, you know, there's Daniel Spencer. He just got knocked out again. I mean, stuff like that. We all try to.
My favorite line so far has been, did you see what Moose did to that poor referee? Didn't name his name. And I was like, man, I've been waiting to just be like, yeah, they said his name. So no, I didn't watch the pre, but I'm glad you're getting the recognition.
Kudos to D'Lo and Stryker. I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah. Matt Stryker is one of the best. I mean,
he really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, I think he was too good for WWE. And I think a lot of people there probably felt a little intimidated by what he knew and how he could get things over.
He
really made Lucha Underground. His commentary on Lucha Underground made it must-watch TV for me.
So
he's Stryker's a phenomenal storyteller. Right. I would dare say one of the best in the business.
But Jim Ross, he said, and I've read in his book that Jim would take those notes on and get these stories, so that way when he's talking about whatever, he can say that they used that background when they played football at, you know, Kansas or wherever he named it, and all these different things. And it brings light to of what it really takes you to another level in that. And is and like that's the one thing that you don't see in today's world in different companies anymore. So I love the fact, and I love Josh and Madison, and even Josh and Don. I love what they did. And they were not bad. They were unique in what they did. But D'Lo and Matt Stryker just bring a whole new energy to commentary that is not in any other promotion out there at all.
Yeah,
and
really. All it takes, and while they're great, I don't claim to be anywhere near, you know, I'm only a couple months into me doing this, but really all it takes is to find one little tidbit from the people that are in the ring. And if you bring that out during the match to where the audience can understand who that person is, I mean, that's what you need on a show like Dark, you know what I mean? And while it's fun to listen to Taz and Excalibur just kind of banter back and forth, and it is funny, tell me something about these people that are in the ring, because there's so many that I don't know. And all you need is one little tidbit, you know, and then you can have fun, you know, just tell me who they are in just a couple words. You know what I mean? And that, I think that, yeah, Stryker's always done a great job with that.
I pulled him aside and told him this week, I was like, dude, I got to tell you, it's just phenomenal. And then when I did that, like literally, it was like almost like a, no one's heard me say it. I sit down away, and then three other people like, hey, by the way, man, I just want to let you know your commentary. And then he walks and says, thank you. Then somebody, dude, you're the commentary. And I'm like, this is just great. Like everybody is, but they should. And of course he was very humble, because he is a humble guy. He's very humble. He's like, thank you, I appreciate that. But like legit, like it was, everybody is happy with what is happening. And again, nothing, I think Josh is now in the perfect role being executive producer, because he is phenomenal at that. Now he's going to host the show, and he's still going to have his hosting duties, and I think he's going to bring a unique thing to that. It's just a different world. So shout out to, again, Matt Stryker and D'Lo. It's just been,
sounds like we need to get Stryker on this show for sure.
I can make
that absolutely. I doubt you could, but I would love it. Text them right now. No, I just want to add to this real quick before we move on from Matt. I've only met him one time. It was at the Royal Rumble in Atlanta, 2010. I don't know if I told you this before, Eric, but I was sitting front row at the Royal Rumble in Atlanta, and I sat behind Matt Stryker, right next to Chili from TLC, by the way. And just watching him, it was like watching somebody just – it was like watching history, you know, one of the historical figures doing something in the past. It was just like, this guy is a professional. Like, I did not to knock any of the other people calling that match, but just watching him and see, and the guys that was another thing with him in WWE. The people that he was in the booth with didn't always appreciate him and his
yeah.
There was a lot of times I heard Michael Cole almost like be like, well, that's stupid. No, I mean, not saying that's stupid, but kind of like, well, that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. But the regular fan would be like, that was awesome to hear about. So,
right, and who's in charge of all the announcers now in WWE? Just saying.
No comment.
Just saying.
So, anyways, yes. And then happy belated birthday to Tommy Dreamer, who at 50 years old put on a phenomenal match against Rich Swann, and wasn't victorious, but man, did he show that he still got it, even at 50 years old. And you know, I loved Tommy. Just that guy's gave so much to this business.
Is there anybody that has more passion for this business than Tommy Dreamer? I'm not sure that there is.
No, I can't think of anybody. I mean,
Al. I know everybody in it loves it, but I don't know
You got Al Snow, but you know, but that's on a different level. I feel like it's just different.
I think Al would even admit that Tommy Dreamer loves this business more than he does. I just don't think anybody loves this business as much as Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy's just,
he's done so much for the business. You know, you'd be surprised what little things he's done that you have no idea too. Like, you know, just even me personally, like he one day called Jimmy Cordeus on the phone. It's like, here, talk to Jimmy Cordeus about some tips. And I was like, what? Like, who does that? I mean, I got a relationship with Jimmy now, but I would have never thought to just call him and ask him a question. You know what I mean? Like, here's your phone. And there I had 15-minute conversation with Jimmy Cordeus, and now, like, I can easily message him now, but I had that ability to do it then, but I still was like, no, I'm not going to, how dare me ask Jimmy Cordeus a question? But that's what Tommy did one day, just because he's like, I want you to be better. You know, like, here, talk to the best and get some advice. And it wasn't even a bad thing. It wasn't even like a putting me down as if I did something wrong. It's just that, hey, I want you to be better. Talk to the best and get some tips. That was it.
That's cool.
You know, like he went out of his way to do it. Tommy had no reason to do that. Like he's Tommy Dreamer. Like, whatever. Just move on. Why does he care about it? One of the referees, actually it was me and Brandon both. Why does he care about both of us to talk to Jimmy Cordeus to get some advice? Why would he care? Because he loves this business so much and he wants everybody to succeed and be great at it. So
yeah. He was at OVW 1000, correct?
He was.
Yes.
Yeah, I ran into him at one of the stores there on 4th Street Live, and he was in line, clearly in line first, and this group of older people came in, and he hopped out of line, let them go first, let me and my family go first. I tried to refuse it, and he was with his, he was with somebody, I don't know if it was his significant other or who it was, but he was in there with them, and they let everybody in the store go first, and then it was just a nice dude. You can tell, I know we're kind of having a nice guy parade here, but truly one of you could tell not only how much he loved being at OVW 1000, but how much he just genuinely cared about all the wrestling fans because he basically was first in line, and the last of the line was about 45 minutes out the door. He let everybody in front of him. And I guess that just goes to show you what kind of a person he really is. Just a good dude.
That's cool. And the only reason I can say he's the guy that loves the business the most is because we lost Tracy Smothers last year. And I think the two of them were probably neck and neck. So, but anyway, yeah, we're just heaping all kinds of praise on folks today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, shout out to Rich Swann, whose birthday as we're recording this is today, who had that match with Tommy Dreamer. So a lot of birthdays in the month of February. Yours truly had one. Chris Bay.
Mine's coming up.
Yours is coming up.
I got a big one coming up.
Yeah, so, you know, it's...
I mean, I have one coming up in July. I mean, everybody has one coming up.
Yeah, but February birthdays are the best.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
How do I leave this chat? Where's the button? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think we have much to talk about in the way of WWE, guys. So I think we've... Yeah. I don't know. The only thing I can think of is I am hoping and praying that the trajectory that they have on Cesaro keeps going. Finally.
I'm glad you brought that up, because here's what they need to do. If they want to keep pushing Cesaro up, they need to keep him off of talking smack after the show. Oh my, it was so painful to listen. I don't know if he was nervous or what the case was, but he absolutely bombed.
You know what's funny about that though? People all over the internet were praising that, and I didn't hate it, but I'm with you. I thought it was worse than it was better.
Yeah.
But they let him talk, which, you know,
That's true.
Vince hasn't let him talk in so long.
I don't watch it, so I really don't know. I mean, it's
we know you watch all of Impact, all of OVW and AEW and the rest of them.
No, but really, I mean, the promo was it was popping up everywhere saying he killed it with this promo. He killed it with this promo, and I listened to it and was like, "Man, it wasn't great."
No.
But he did manage to cut a promo, which I thought was good.
By the way, did y'all watch the Royal Rumble special after the Impact or after the NXT show? Yeah. It was really good.
It was good.
I love all the original content they've been putting out on WWE. It's been better than the stuff they've been showing during the week.
Yeah. So we got one more pay-per-view left. By the way, next week's pay-per-view, or as we're recording this, the pay-per-view coming up at Elimination Chamber, is going to be the very last pay-per-view on the WWE Network, because the WWE Network is now switching over to Peacock by the time of the first ever which is Fastlane, I think. Yeah, Fastlane is going to be on the
Peacock. And from what I hear, if you're on the network, they're just going to automatically switch you over. Because I was looking to figure out, because I know they put a bunch of stuff on there already. I was going to say, well, how can I just go ahead and switch over? Maybe I'll watch me some Saved by the Bell. But apparently... apparently
right, but I have. But yet. It's weird because my logins are the same. So like my email and stuff. So like, how's that going to work?
Say they're just going to automatically transition all of your WWE Network folks all on over to Peacock. So I'm just going to wait until that happens, and then it'll be.
You think if they paid $1 billion, they can figure out how to do it too? So I guess that's right.
Yeah, let's hope.
Is there any of you all, just let's briefly preview an Elimination Chamber, that doesn't think that Randy Orton versus Edge is the plan for WrestleMania?
I'm not sold on that, to be honest with you. I'm not.
I think Orton versus Christian is WrestleMania.
But what about Randy Orton? What about the Fiend? What about the Fiend? They've got to do something there.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, thinking about that, I forgot about the Fiend. I think that's probably going to be the match. But I think that WWE has done a great job here lately of fake swerving people, because the rumors for the last 6 months has been it's going to be Edge and Orton at Mania. And then they put them at 1 and 2 in the Rumble and then switched them the next day. And now I think they put Randy in the Elimination Chamber. So I think everybody's expecting him to win the chamber and face Edge at Mania. Maybe it'll be Randy, Edge, and the Fiend. I don't know, but
no, I think Daniel Bryan will be Edge.
Roman Reigns' challenger at the pay per view.
No, I still got Edge and Roman. That's my call. I'll call that now. I think it's Edge and Roman.
Yeah, I'm not ready to call anything.
I think Edge has his last match too. I think that's his last match officially.
For some reason, I'm feeling Roman and Daniel Bryan at Mania, but we'll see. They've been planting seeds on talking. I know you don't watch it, but they've been planting seeds on Talking Smack and backstage that Daniel Bryan's is one of the next challengers for the title. So
I can see him, John Cena and Roman Reigns. I could see.
And John's right here next to me.
I can't see him.
Yeah, I can't see him either.
You ain't gonna say anything? And little Jimmy's next to him.
I see a floating watermelon Mountain Dew, but I don't see it.
A floating. Oh, I see a folding table that I'm ready to put JK through when next time he comes over to the house.
Is that the old table we used to use?
Yep.
Remember those days. All right. John Cena's involved somehow in WrestleMania.
You think so?
Yeah.
He said there's no mathematical way he can make it there. You say he's swerving everybody.
Yeah,
it could be another fake swerve, a swerve.
He wasn't supposed to be at WrestleMania 35 either. He shows up as Thuganomics, John Cena.
Well, maybe we get a real match between him and the Fiend this time.
Possibly, it'd be the third WrestleMania match. They're 1-1, right? Technically, so.
Well, I guess. I mean, if you consider last year's an actual win for the Fiend.
I mean, who's the winner? It has to be, right? Has to be the Fiend, right?
Was there a winner? 1-2-3, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I would say the Fiend would have to win, but
so,
you know.
So winner. So the first match was back in 32, right? 32 or 30? When did they wrestle before 30? It was 30. WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans, right?
I think so.
Okay, you got Cena won that one, and then you got what last year's WrestleMania. Fiend got that, so this is the rubber match.
Yeah,
I'm looking at.
Well, technically, it was The Rock and Eric Rowan, but I mean, Cena was involved in
that
too.
No, that was 32.
Rock at 32.
Rock
I know.
Yeah, it was 32. Because Rock.
Yeah, Cena and Bray was WrestleMania 30.
Yeah. In 31, he took on the Undertaker. Undertaker's return match after losing.
And well, besides the title matches, what else are y'all seeing at WrestleMania? Any predictions?
I don't know.
That's still a long way away. I'm ready to go out on a limb. R-Truth will win the 24/7 championship 8 times at WrestleMania.
No, once on a boat.
You know who's getting their belt back, right?
Yes, Gronk. Yeah.
Gronk is getting their belt back. It's at Tampa in the stadium. He just won a Super Bowl. He's going to catch
it. Maybe Tom Brady wins it. Maybe Tom Brady wins it and then just chucks it off the boat.
All right, I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
Maybe Tom Brady wins it and Gronk takes it from him.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
I'd be okay with that.
Would Tom Brady see Brock going to WWE makes sense. He's been in there many times before, but Tom Brady, that would be different.
Just depends on how many beers Brady's had. It's all good.
True. Or tequila, whatever it was. All right, guys. Well, any final comments before we end the show here?
No, I think I'm good. I think we talked about everything I wanted to talk about. Please don't. LA Knight, that's just awful. I'm done. Last thing I'm going to say.
No more name changes unless Jeremy. Hey, breaking news. Mr. Pectacular's changing his name.
Oh God.
Yeah, his new name is
Jet. What would Jeremy C. do then?
All right,
they just changed it to like Jet C.
Anyway, so thanks for listening, guys. You can find us on the podcast avenues, as we said earlier, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, download, leave us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. Or you can just go to ringsidepodcast.com. There's tons of other apps that we're available on that you could download, and we just didn't mention here. So search for Ringside Podcast. You'll find us. Don't forget, anytime you go to an OVW event, use promo code Ringside. You save on the show, and you help to support this podcast. This is a listener-supported podcast, and we want to keep this show free as well. So go to culinaryballbrand.com. Use promo code Ringside on capital letters. When you check out, you save 10% and you support this podcast again. And that keeps us doing this show for free every single week when we put it on the air. And we want to keep that going, especially for the future video shows that we're going to launch, Lube Live format, probably once a month. We're going to do, we want to keep those free as well. So we appreciate the support. You can get us all on the social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast. Individually on Twitter, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
I'm at Jeremy_CSC.
And I'm at Eric on the Air.
All right, guys. All right, so we got a guest lining up, maybe a couple of them, with Matt Stryker and Mr. Pectacular. If those work out, we'll see. But anyways, we also need to get the new... We didn't mention this, OVW Women's Champion, Holly Hood Haley J, who won it Tuesday night after Tough Love.
Bougetta was baddie from the streets.
We had a date set up to have her on the show, but now since she's a Women's Champion, why not? So we need to work that out and get her on the show and let her Holly Hood up this place.
We need to be on Zoom so she doesn't crack us with that sock of rocks.
That's for sure. That's for sure. All right, guys. In the meantime,
Daniel doesn't know about that. He's never seen it. Apparently,
I've never roughed her matches when she's hit somebody with a sock of rocks. All right, guys. In the meantime, in between time,
until next time, you can catch us ringside.
And by any other name, we wouldn't be the Ringside Podcast. So just remember that.
See ya.